Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast. I'm your host, Grace Gotchling. On May 14, 2020, the U.S. Supreme Court released its decision in the case Lucky Brand Dungarees v. Marcel Fashion Group, a case argued before the Supreme Court in January of 2020. The issue in this case is whether, when a plaintiff asserts new claims, federal preclusion principles can bar a defendant from raising defenses that were not actually litigated and resolved in any prior case between the parties. The court held in a unanimous ruling that Marcel cannot prevent Lucky Brand from raising new defense arguments in the case because the previous litigation in 2003 and 2005 challenged different actions involving different trademarks occurring at different times. And now, to discuss the case, we have Paul Stancil, professor of law at Brigham Young University Law School.
This is Professor Paul Stancil, and I'm here to talk with you today about Lucky Brand Dungarees v. Marcel Fashions Group. And that's a unanimous Sotomayor opinion issued in May. I can't promise that this will be the most interesting podcast you'll ever listen to. For most people, civil procedure preclusion doctrine may not be able to compete with, say, the latest season of Serial, but I will do my very best. Now, Lucky Brands involves an ongoing series of trademark disputes running back over three separate lawsuits, one federal administrative proceeding, and 22 years. It also involves a pretty esoteric issue of preclusion law, and, for a bonus, Justice Sotomayor fairly gently smacking down her former circuit. For those of you who don't have time to wend through the complexities of the case with me, here's the quick black-letter summary. The Second Circuit and some other federal courts had recognized a form of preclusion doctrine applying to defenses. Somewhat unoriginally, they called this defense preclusion. The Second Circuit also came up with a four-factor test for determining when defense preclusion applies. Applying this test to Lucky Brands, the Second Circuit precluded Lucky Brands from raising a defense in round four of the ongoing trademark saga, because it could have but didn't fully pursue that same defense in round three. Although the Supreme Court had the opportunity to recognize or reject defense preclusion outright, it instead decided to issue a far narrower holding. Now, after dropping a footnote suggesting that the court is only slightly more enthusiastic about defense preclusion as an independent doctrine than it is about Lochner-style substantive due process, Justice Sotomayor's opinion rejects the Second Circuit's four-factor test for defense preclusion on the grounds that it didn't have anywhere nearly enough factors. And then if the Second Circuit really wanted to get things right, they would have used an eight- or ten-factor test, which almost certainly would have been acceptable. No, wait. That might have been what Justice O'Connor would have done had she still been on the court, but I think I need to check my notes again. Okay, here it is. Yeah, Justice Sotomayor's opinion instead states that even if defense preclusion is, as my children like to put it, a thing, it only applies in cases where the facts on the ground would support application of traditional issue or claim preclusion principles. The Second Circuit's four-factor test didn't jibe with those traditional principles, and because neither issue preclusion nor claim preclusion, the traditional forms, would have applied in this case, Lucky Brand was not precluded from raising the defense in question. Now, this is where you'll want to stop listening if you either value your time, you value your sanity, or you're uninterested in the intricacies of a long-running trademark battle between a company that made an international reputation selling middle-brow boho chic jeans, only to realize that it maybe should have devoted more resources to its trademark search at the beginning, and a company that, while it won the race to the trademark office, seems to have focused its efforts on, and I'm not making this up, wholesaling clothing to the vibrant comfort gambler market. and whose primary claims to fame seem to be, one, a line of stretch pants that double as, quote, a tummy control belt, end quote, and two, that some of their designs are featured at the Las Vegas airport and other Las Vegas area gift shops. To each her own, but you have been warned. Anyway, Marcel Fashions, named after its founder's mother, was founded in Florida in the early 1980s, and in 1985, it applied for and received a U.S. trademark for the phrase, quote, get lucky, end quote, which it apparently wanted to use as its primary brand name for a line of clothing. From what I can piece together after almost 15 intense minutes of crazy internet research, pretty much nothing happened for a while. For reasons that were not immediately apparent after that 15 minutes of research, the Get Lucky trademark was also canceled at some point between 1985 and 1998, at which time Marcel reapplied for the mark. Now, on the other side of the country, in 1990, Lucky Brand was founded in Los Angeles. Lucky Brand was, by any account, more successful than Marcel's Get Lucky line. It's also more sophisticated. In fact, Lucky Brand showed up at the Patent and Trademark Office and opposed Marcel's 1998 application to have its Get Lucky trademark reinstated. Alas, Lucky Brands did not get lucky. Lucky Brands did not get lucky. Lucky Brand lost. But the battle was only beginning. Now we get to the good stuff. Or at least to the stuff that had a more direct impact on the Supreme Court's decision in May of 2020. In 2001, Marcel sued Lucky Brand for trademark infringement, claiming that Lucky Brand was using the phrase, get lucky, in direct violation of Marcel's trademark on that phrase. Now, I'm treating the administrative proceeding as round one, so this is round two. The parties settled round two in 2003. Lucky Brand agreed to stop using the phrase get lucky, and it paid Marcel some cash money in return for Marcel agreeing to release any claims regarding Lucky Brand's use of Lucky Brand's own trademarks. That's important. Oh, by the way, as an aside, I'd like to stop here and complain to anyone who is still listening about how nearly impossible it is to write or read a Supreme Court opinion involving trademark claims. You ultimately have to use pronouns. Pronouns are important, but you just can't. I spent as much time, at least, trying to figure out what the court meant by the phrase, quote, its own trademarks, end quote, in sentences where both Marcel and Lucky Brand were perfectly reasonable antecedents, as I did on the remainder of the opinion. But it would sound stupid to keep using the actual nouns over and over in every single sentence. Anyway, back now to your regularly scheduled programming. Round three begins in 2005, when Lucky Brand files suit against Marcel and a Marcel licensee, this time for violating Lucky Brand's trademarks. In that action, Marcel filed counterclaims alleging, and this is important, that Lucky Brand had continued to use the trademarked phrase, get lucky. But Marcel did not allege in those counterclaims, this is also important, that Lucky Brand's use of Lucky Brand's own trademarked terms infringed Marcel's trademark. Lucky Brand wasn't so lucky in round three either, and its actions in the 2005 case ultimately set the stage for the Supreme Court opinion. Specifically, Lucky Brand filed a motion to dismiss the 2005 counterclaims early on, arguing that Marcel's counterclaims were barred by the 2003 settlement agreement. Now, the district court in that 2005 action sort of shoved that motion to the side. Then, Marcel won its counterclaims before a jury. Now, importantly, Lucky Brand did not raise its barred by the settlement agreement defense again after the district court deferred action on it early in the 2005 litigation. As a result of the 2005 case, Lucky Brand was permanently enjoined from copying or imitating Marcel's Get Lucky mark. Okay, now we get to the litigation that directly gave rise to the Supreme Court's recent opinion, and it's a lot fresher. I mean, this one started a mere 9 years ago in 2011. So in 2011, Marcel filed another trademark suit against Lucky Brand, But this one was a little different. Instead of claiming that Lucky Brand was using the get lucky phrase directly, Marcel's 2011 suit claimed that Lucky Brand was using Lucky Brand's own trademarks, some of which incorporated the word, wait for it, lucky, in a manner that Marcel said infringed its trademark. Now, I am definitely not a trademark lawyer, and I'll allow anyone who knows more about that side of this case to take the ball if they want to. In fact, I'm still a little confused by what actually happened in rounds 3 and 4, but I don't think my confusion affects my understanding of the holding of the case in any way, so let's just move on. Anyway, in response to Marcel's 2011 suit, Lucky Brand decided to trot out the old, your lawsuit is prohibited by our original 2003 settlement agreement defense. Now remember, this is the defense that Lucky Brand raised at the beginning of the 2005 case, but that never came back to as that case progressed. Marcel responded in the 2011 litigation that Lucky Brand should be precluded from raising that defense because it was available and in fact had been raised in the 2005 case, now even though it had not been litigated to conclusion. Well, the district court agreed with Lucky Brand and granted Lucky Brand's motion to dismiss, finding that the settlement agreement did actually bar Marcel's 2011 claims. But they appealed. The Second Circuit gets into the act, and they reversed the district court's decision, holding that a doctrine called defense preclusion applied to prevent Lucky Brand from raising that defense. Now, according to the four-factor test that the Second Circuit adopted, and we should note, this is not how the Supreme Court ultimately analyzed the situation, but this is how it worked. A defendant should be precluded under the Second Circuit's view from raising a defense if, one, a previous action involved an adjudication on the merits. And by the way, can I make another side? Supreme Court just grappled this term with the meaning of the term on the merits in a different case, but they didn't ask me to do that podcast, so I guess I'll just ignore that issue for now. So anyway, back to the four factors. First factor, a previous action involved an adjudication on the merits. Two, the previous action involved the same parties. Three, the defense either was asserted or could have been asserted in the prior action. And four, the district court in its discretion concludes that preclusion of the defense is appropriate. Second Circuit said that not only were those the factors, but that those factors were satisfied. And so Lucky Brand should have been precluded from raising its, our settlement agreement prevents you from bringing these claims defense in the 2011 case. Now, finally, Supreme Court gets involved, grants cert. And Justice Sotomayor's opinion is short and largely to the point. It actually reads a lot like a Ginsburg civil procedure opinion. And by that, I mean it sort of sounds like a bar review course. But I mean that in a good way. Now, really. Anyhow, the unanimous court is not completely ready to say that defense preclusion is not a thing. And thankfully for them, they don't have to say that. Instead, Sotomayor focuses on how a doctrine of defense preclusion would fit in with traditional issue preclusion and claim preclusion doctrines. The one real holding of the case is that any attempt to use preclusion doctrine to prevent litigation of a defense must comport with the traditional notions of fair play and substantial... Wait a second, no. Wait, wrong notes again. The opinion states that in order to preclude a party from raising a defense, preclusion must be appropriate under traditional claim preclusion or issue preclusion analysis. Notably, the Supreme Court said the Second Circuit's four-part test just doesn't make the grade. And specifically here, the parties agreed that there was no issue preclusion since the specific issue was just shoved to the side in the 2005 case rather than being fully litigated. Accordingly, the court looked to claim preclusion to determine whether Lucky Brand could bring this defense. And because the 2011 claim involved new and different causes of action, a different, quote, nucleus of operative facts, end quote, because it was based on Lucky Brand's use of Lucky Brand's own trademark in alleged violation of Marcel's trademark, rather than Lucky Brand's specific use of the get lucky phrase, claim preclusion would not apply under traditional principles. Long story short, to preclude a defense after Lucky Brand, you either have to establish issue preclusion or claim preclusion under traditional principles. The Second Circuit's four-factor test doesn't work. Now, one final note. In footnote 2 of the opinion, which is probably not destined for Caroline Product's footnote 4 levels of fame, or even Saucony Vacuum footnote 59 levels of fame for those of you who are antitrust geeks out there, the court's opinion offers something close to the stereotypical mafioso statement that it would be a shame if anything happened to your business. Specifically, the court notes that there are a number of reasons why defense preclusion should not perhaps be recognized as a separate doctrine with its own set of rules. Not least of these is the fact that the decision to raise defenses is strategic, and it differs in every case, and that defenses can be costly. As Sotomayor notes, a defendant may well be aware of a potential defense in a specific piece of litigation and yet decide not to raise it for strategic or cost reasons. The court seems skeptical, appropriately so in my view, that it would make sense to preclude a defendant from raising that same defense in later litigation where circumstances might have changed substantially. Now, the court does not go on in any of its opinion to explain how this concern would differ from similar concerns that may be raised by traditional claim preclusion principles, but there are some differences. Maybe they'll give me another podcast someday and I can talk about that. Anyway, I'm Professor Paul Stansel. We've been talking about Lucky Brand v. Marcel, and I appreciate you listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.